Now, do others teach the same thing? Does the Catholic Church, for example, teach being born again? Yes, it does. How does it understand it? Here's how it understands it. They say that when an infant is christened or baptized, if you like, I'm not going to quibble about that at the moment, that's when he is born again. So if the child is 10 days old, now he's born again for some reason. It happens very early then. But does his life really change? The Catholic Church says in a mystical way it does. Even though outside when you look at him, he doesn't appear to be changing at all. So that's their conception of being born again. It's just something mystical that takes place because the water is specially imbued when the priest blesses it. Now, if on one side you get that kind of thing, and on the other side you get a sentimental approach to it, what happens to the real thing? We miss it. We miss the real thing. So we don't really have we don't have the same idea. We should not have the same idea. So in the case of being born again then, we have to ask ourselves one important question. Are we being born again in an active way or in a passive way? Is the acceptance of God committing us to anything at all? Or is it empty? Yesterday I brought in that little leaflet that says all you have to do is just sign your name. And that's it. Nothing to do. Do you have a commitment or do you not? If we understand this square says that man is wrong, so he's a square of distortion. Everything is distorted. And Christ is saying we've got to get a right perspective. And that you can get that from God's Spirit. We need that in there. That means man must make an attempt to return to the position which God intended originally, to God's will. And if this is the wall, if this is the wall here that separates man from God, it separates God's will from man's will. Man's will, and this is God's will. So we have to say, we have to cross that out and go this way to God's will. So Adam was made to be subordinate to God. He was made to accept God's word in an active way, to do what is right, not in a passive way, just merely to abstain from things that are wrong. As I was saying earlier, we grow up in a Protestant environment, at least in the West we do, and we sometimes get the idea that because the Protestants do not have candles and idols and saints and rosaries and so on, because the Protestants do not have those things, then they must be closer to the truth than the Catholics, and we go along that path. In fact, there is no difference. Unless, the thing is this, either you get in tune with God's will, or you are wasting your time. So then, man's new birth is a return to the subordination that Adam lost. Faith is not an alternative to subordination of man's will. That's why Paul in Romans 7, verse 14, says the law is spiritual, because it's from God, it's holy, it's good. But of course, again, we are talking in terms of spirit nowadays, not in terms of the letter of the law, because according to the letter of the law, we can give a bill of divorcement to our wives, but not according to the spirit of the law. Now, I have a question here. I'd like to read the question. If Adam and Eve have taken of the tree of life, if Adam and Eve have taken, I think it means if Adam and Eve were to have taken, of the tree of life, would there have been sin or evil? Would man have died at the end of his life? Or would he have been changed and made immortal? Now that's a good question. So let me just go through that by saying, first of all, that nature would have been subordinate to man. So man would have planted seeds and he would not have got thorns and thistles instead. His family life would have been different because he would have been plugged into the wall, into the electricity, into the source, into God, in the right way. So his family life would have been totally different. Nations would have a different structure, completely different from the one we have today. And every man on the face of the earth would know God as he is, and he would see God as he is. When I say see, I do not mean visibly, because God is not his spirit. And each person would have been born in an environment that is totally different from the one we have today. By that I mean he would have access to God's supernatural gifts. I mean, you're saying the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yes. That's what we mean by being plugged. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, pervading the life of every individual. I am talking about something that is not like today, but something much better than what we have today, because today we are inside this box. Today, when God gives us the Spirit of God, when we have the Spirit, it works like this. We have this. But it does not take us out of the box, whereas that man is outside the box. Is much better off. So I am saying that each person would have been born in a different environment, in one that is permeated by God's spiritual gifts. And each person would have been a part of, he would have been of flesh in the sense I described. Flesh meaning a part of a larger supernatural spiritual body. And the word spiritual there means a part of a group of people who depend on God. That's what I mean by spiritual. Nobody would have been ruled by his passions. Nobody would have even a single imagination that is evil. Now, what if one of them would have an evil imagination? What if one of them departed from this picture, as I said, then it would be the wall again. Then it would be the wall. It would take just one act. Supposing Adam and Eve obeyed God fully for 1,000 years. And then in the fourth generation from there, one person did it. Then the wall is there and we are back in the box. It takes one act to ruin the connection with God. But now, the world in which we live in is a different world from that. Totally different. And in this world, I have not, I should, let me put Satan in here as well. And we said, it, you know, Satan is in here also. And man is the servant of Satan. Now, that does not mean that, that Satan is better off. I'm just saying that Satan has more power over man. In that world, there would have been no accidents, because God would have been there every single time. No accidents, no sickness. You see, we grow up thinking that the body, it's natural for the body to go sick. That's our misperception, because we are in here. Everything we think is distorted. The body was not made to be sick. We have sickness. The body, death would not have been. There would have been no death. There would have been no earthquakes. There would have been no baldness. Nobody would have too much hair. And when I presented this last time, somebody said to me, how much hair do you think would be exact, to be exact? I said, well, you're looking at me. That's how much hair you would have. Right, because each one of us judges by the way he sees in what he sees in the mirror. There would have been no eyeglasses. Would there have been a crucifixion? No. No crucifixion. Christ would not need to die. Would there have been a resurrection? No, there would not have been a resurrection. A second coming? No, no second coming. A new heaven and a new earth? No, nothing like that. A lake of fire? No, no lake of fire. But supposing we had a word like that. I mean, it's nice to speculate and say, if we were in that kind of situation, what would we be doing right now? Right? In that kind of world. I think right now we would have been sitting around asking ourselves what the world would have been like if we had sinned. And then somebody would stand up and say, on this platform, and say, if we had sinned, brethren, here's what we would have done. We would sow vegetables in the ground, and weeds would pop out. And somebody would say, no, come on, you know, you don't believe that. And I say, we would say, well, you would eat food and poison yourselves. He said, you're joking. Our children would kill one another. And we would pollute this beautiful garden. And we, to the point where we would not know what to do with the toxic waste. We would breathe the air and ruin our lungs. And we would have to carry keys with us in our pockets. See, the more civilized we get, the more keys we need. Now, I went to a place in Greece, once a distant village, to visit somebody. And they don't have any locks on their doors. And I said, you don't have any locks? He said, no. I said, don't people walk in? He said, of course they do. When I'm out, they always come in and they get things. And they always bring them back. See? So that's nice. But I mean, I thought, but the community is so small that everybody knew everybody else. And I suppose everybody knows what you have and what you don't have. Right? And poor people tend to be more generous than rich people. They haven't got any boxes of gold and silver to protect them. And definitely, we would have to say, look, in those days, if we had sinned, we would have to carry keys with us wherever we go, because somebody is going to steal our car. And then we would, on top of that, we would pay policemen to carry pistols to protect us from other human beings. And people would jump out of the bushes and want to attack us as we go in the street. And then we would rely on human beings to protect us. How perverse the whole thing would have. And then somebody listening in the audience would say, oh, man, you're dreaming, right? Just as much as we say now we are dreaming when we think about the other way. See, if you put all these things, supposing you put them in perspective, you say, in this kind of environment, God created man, let's give him a number, 100 degrees of bodily, psychological, perfection, 100, right? Give him 100 out of 100. Spirituality, use of mind, intellect, will, imagination, all these things. What has happened? As soon as the plug was pulled out, we went 98, 99, 98, 97, and so on down there until we came to zero. And then we went minus one, minus two, minus three, and we go on like this. That's where we are. What would have happened if we had the other way? It would have been 101, 102, 103, and so on, until we come to perfection. By the way, here is death. Maybe I should remove the minuses. I'll just put death. Physical death. And spiritual death. But spiritual death is up here, isn't it? So, it's death. And here is life. And we go on like that. And the opposite of this thing would be glory. So, would there have been death? No, of course not. Death is on this side. It's this way. The other side is different. It goes a different way, different thing. So, would a man have to die? I don't think so. I don't see why he would have to die. Now, you ask me now, how would it happen then? I have no idea. I have no idea. I can only speculate. I can only dream about it. It's dream. I'm dreaming. Maybe when I'm 102, I start glowing a little more. Maybe 120, oh, I'm all glowing. See? And maybe when I come to 1,000, then I have a glorified body. Maybe that's what it would be. Something like that. That's what I would like to have happened. And then you say, what happens down the other way? Well, you're glowing. It was the opposite of glow. You don't have a word for it. So, we are sort of reversed glowing. Every day we look at it and we see more wrinkles. And every day we see more misery and more suffering. Now, let me go on to handout 18 to answer the steps in the argument, to the review of the questions, in other words. We have just 5 questions to answer in the handout 18. Question 44, are the angels created? The answer is yes, they are. Are the angels in space? No, they are not. Do the angels have needs? Yes, they do. They have spiritual needs. Can angels repent? No, they cannot. Because it's finished. They are not in time. We are in time. We can change our minds all the time. We are inside this box. And so man is blessed to be in the way he is made, because he can develop character constantly. the angels are fixed in the either they are holy or unholy. Can they repent? No, they cannot. Can a good angel become evil? No, he cannot. Can an evil angel become good? No, he cannot. Can a man change? Yes, he can. What would have happened had man not sinned? And then we said all the things we dream about. Now we move to part 8 to discuss Christ's divine nature. Thank you. I will just check the point here to see if I skipped handout 16. Ah, well. Yeah, I must have skipped that. Did I wrongly number them? Did I skip it? If I skip it, doesn't, you know.
Well, we didn't. I don't think you went over this.
Well, let me continue for the moment, and I'll come back to it. I'll come back to it later on after, you know, after we have a break. Well, I'll discuss it. So let's go. How much time do we have? Yes. Thank you. So now we are in part 8, and I will discuss Christ's divine nature, and then I'll discuss Christ's human nature, and then I'll go into discuss Christ's death. And the question is, let me erase this. I don't need this board anymore. So the question is, did Christ have two natures or one nature? You may say, why are we asking that question? Well, because we need to understand exactly what was going on when Christ came to the earth. We need to understand his nature. We need to understand his will. Did he have two natures or one? Did he have two wills or one will? If he had two natures, which nature died on the cross, the divine or the human? And you can argue now, if the divine one died on the cross, that's impossible, because the divine is immortal. God does not die. Now, if you suppose it was the human, then it is improbable, because a human life does not have any value. Many people die. Many humans die for others. So what value is that? So given that we have two options, either the divine or the human, the first one is impossible, the second one is improbable or valueless, then what are we going to say about it? Similarly, we can ask a question. If Christ's human nature manifested itself in death, why not in sin? Why did he not sin? Well, now we can begin to see what is the question here. We can also ask a number of other questions. How is it that the disciples were so slow to understand who Christ was and what he did? They failed to recognize him. And the Jews, to this day, deny him. And somebody asked a question in another conference. Here, let me read the question. I would find it difficult to believe that Christ's nature would not have raised a question in the disciples' minds. So we need to understand. I want to argue here that Christ's nature would be foreign to the discussion of the New Testament times. Would not even come into the mind of the disciples. Minds of the disciples. Let me show you. Let me start from the beginning and analyze that concept. When Christ came, he came as a carpenter, as a human being that could feel hunger and thirst. He came in a very humble way. He was not disturbing the free will of man. So man inside this box, in other words, that we had on the board earlier, still had his free will. So as a carpenter, he is not inflicting himself on anybody. He is not forcing himself on anyone. And he did not even tell them who he was. In Matthew 16 and verse 16, it is the disciples who say to him, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Now, in some passages, he makes some strange, strange comments. For example, he says, let me just read. For example, in Matthew chapter 11, and verse 27, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father." No man? You mean Peter did not know the Son? You mean Andrew and John and so on, they did not know him? He says, "No man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." That's a strange concept. So let's put it on the board. Here is. So he says, no one knows the Son but the Father. And no one knows the Father but the Son. What does that mean now? And in John chapter 10 and verse 30, "I and my Father are one." So, I and the Father are one. And of course, we translated this one in the past as of one mind and of one will and of one sentiment and so on. Unity of mind. But how do you explain that? No one knows the Son but the Father. And no one knows the Father but the Son. See, we tend to be, now these are problematic statements, even for us. How much more problematic were they for the New Testament people? We tend to look back in a rather impatient way, and we say that they were very slow. And the implication is that if we had been there, we would not have been so slow ourselves. But if we understand the picture, we would find that there is quite a lot of material in their favor. In other words, we have to be more understanding of their unbelief. Here is why. Here is a man, a carpenter, somebody who, by all accounts, looks like a man. He eats and drinks like a man. He walks and sleeps and cries like a man. He makes chairs, plows, and whatever a carpenter makes. Yet, he forgives sins. He knows the Father. He says, "Before Abraham, I am." So we look at him in retrospect. But they had to live through it. They had to live in prospect. The question is, could they even ask whether he is man or God? Could they ask that question? Here is how we would determine the question. We have to ask a number of strange questions. We have to say, what is Jesus? Not who, what. What is he? Now, to ask what is a question about nature. So when you say, what is Jesus, is about nature. To ask a question. What is to ask a question about the nature? But the nature of man, let's discuss now the nature of man. We say man is has an earthy body, and he has the Spirit of God. So that's his nature, human nature. So nature determines what we can do. Now, I put it on the board because this is a word we misuse. We say it's human nature. We mean a child has human nature, therefore he lies. That's the sort of thing. That's how we tend to use the word. That's not what I mean by human nature. Here I'm talking about it's our being human determines what we can do. Man needs food. That's in his nature. Man is affected by gravity. That's in his nature. Nature does not determine personality. So each human being has the same nature, but he has a different personality. So I put here what we can do. Not. Not personality. So man has one nature. But he has many persons. Let me just change the word man to human beings. All human beings have one nature. They have human nature. But there are many persons. Now, if I put God down here, let me put God here. God has one nature, And we said three hypostases. Three hypostases. I misspelled the word. Sorry. Is hypostases.